During the months of May and June, on Sunday mornings, we're going through the parables of Jesus. He spoke 37 parables that are recorded. He probably spoke more than that. That was his favorite teaching method. But 37 that are recorded, we're looking at 9 of those 37. This morning, we're looking at the parable that is called the crown of all the parables. It is the best one that Jesus, in the estimation of many, that he ever spoke. In fact, it's probably the only parable that Jesus spoke that the lost world knows. They know this one. And so you don't have to be a believer to know this parable. It's called the parable of the prodigal son. Some call it the parable of the loving father. The father more the emphasis than the son. Some call it the parable of the waiting father. R.C.H. Lenski, a German theologian in the 1940s, he called it the parable of the two lost sons. One son that was lost when he went away, and the other son lost but stayed home. Read with me, starting in verse 11. And he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in the country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of the country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him, felt compassion, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him. And put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. I wish the story ended there, but it didn't. Now his older son was in the field. And as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come and your father has killed a fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, Look, these many years I've served you and I've never disobeyed your command. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when the son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you kill the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you're always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead, he was lost, and is found. This morning, I want us to look at this parable before we observe the Lord's Supper together on this Father's Day. First of all, letter A on your outline, about Luke chapter 15. If you were here last Sunday morning, you remember that we began our parable, Luke 15, the parable of the lost sheep. And the story began with Jesus and the tax collectors and the sinners and the undesirables of the culture. We're all over here fellowshipping together, and Jesus was receiving them, and they loved Jesus, but the religious crowd kept their distance, and they were looking on, watching Jesus, and they criticized Jesus for fellowshipping with sinners. And you might remember they said that, the Bible said that they grumbled, which was an intensified word, meaning a low tone muttering, but angry because Jesus received those kind of people, and they stood at a distance and they criticized. So as a result, Jesus told three stories, three parables. A lost sheep, a lost coin, and a lost son. Three parables of lostness. And in these three parables, Jesus told about joy when the lost thing was found. Lost sheep was found, joy. Lost coin was found, joy. Lost son was found, joy. But the last story ended with grumbling. So if you get the picture, they would have had no doubt that Jesus was pointing the finger at them for the grumbling. The three stories are interesting. They increase in value. You got a sheep, which is not as important as a coin, which is not as important as a son. So in these three stories, the value increases, but the ratios decrease. 100 to 1, 10 to 1, and 2 to 1. And so Jesus tells three interesting stories that draws the point there should be joy at the end of the third story. And there's not. There's grumbling. And that was the point of all three. So this morning, I want us to look at the third story of the Luke 15 parables, the parable of the loving father, letter B on your outline, the parable of the loving father. Jesus tells us that there was a man who had two boys. In the story, Jesus tells there are three characters. There's the younger son, there's the older son, and there's the dad. Now, I want us to look at each one of those three, and then we'll observe the Lord's Supper together. First of all, let's look at the younger son. The younger son one day said to his dad, "Dad, I'm tired of just sitting around waiting for you to die so I can get your inheritance. Why don't you just go ahead and give it to me now?" That's always a fun conversation to have around the house, isn't it? Now, in our day, you can't do that. You have to die before an inheritance can be given. In biblical days, you could give your inheritance away to your kids before you died. According to Deuteronomy 21:17, the inheritance was split up this way. The oldest son got two-thirds. The other remaining sons got the remaining one-third. They split it up. It's a really good deal for the oldest son. So this man only had two sons. So he didn't say anything, he didn't argue with him, he didn't try to talk him out of it. The dad simply got his inheritance together, gave the oldest boy two-thirds, and the youngest son one-third. One of the things that strikes you about this story is the lack of emotion in all the transactions. Did you notice that? And not many words. "Dad, I want the inheritance. Tired of being around you." I would have thought the dad said, "Son, no, I know better than you." Not any emotion, not any words. He asked for it. The dad gave it. You know, one of the things I see, principles I see in this, is that God the Father gives you the freedom to go your own way. He's not going to beg you to come to church. He's not going to beg you to follow him. He's not going to beg you to be saved. Now, in Scripture, Jesus wanted people to follow, but really all he said was, if you follow, here's the cost. He didn't beg anybody to follow him. He doesn't now. It's your choice. If you want to live in a far country away from the Father, you can. It's your choice. Gave the inheritance, and the boy left. What he thought was the best thing, being away from dad, he realized quickly was the worst thing. Because he went to the far country, turned his back on the father, went to the far country, squandered his property, his money, on reckless living. The word reckless there literally means unsaving. So in other words, he didn't save any for the next day or for the next week or the next month. He just spent it all and had fun. And then when the money ran out, the friends ran out. You ever notice when you got money, you got friends? The money left, the friends left, and then a famine hit the land. Crops weren't growing, rain wasn't falling, no food, no jobs, and the boy began to be hungry. In fact, he got desperate. His desperate condition is shown by the kind of job he got. He had to find a job, had to eat. And the only job he could find was feeding pigs. Now, there's nothing wrong with feeding pigs, unless you're Jewish. There's a big problem, because Jews are not supposed to touch pork, be around pork. You're unclean. And the only job he could find was feeding pigs. It had to go through his mind. It had to. What am I doing? I've fallen so far that I've become unclean. I'm doing what my law has commanded me not to do. And you know, folks, sometimes whenever you're in the far country, it goes through your mind, this is not the way I was raised. These are not the beliefs that I know. This is not the way I've been taught. I'm not living the way I've been taught. It had to go through his mind. And one day, it got so bad, he had fed the pigs, they're eating, and he's watching them eat, and in a story that doesn't have many words, now all of a sudden we get a window into the dialogue going through his mind. So he's watching them, thinking, you know, they're eating better than I am. That slop I just gave them, it looks pretty good. They're eating better than me. What have I done? And the Bible said he came to himself. What have I done? I've exchanged the only one who ever really loved me for this. One of the words for repentance literally means come to your senses. Whenever you finally realize, I don't need to live this way, I'm doing wrong, I believe wrong, I've acted wrong, and I need to come back. It's repentance. And so the young boy came to himself and thought, you know, I wonder what I can do. What if I go back home? Dad's going to be mad. He's not going to want to receive me as a son. I've spent all of his inheritance. What if I go back as one of his servants? I'd be better than this. I mean, the servants eat better than this. What if I go back as his servant? Maybe, just maybe, he'll accept me. So he begins his speech. Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Father, would you take me back as your hired servant? Yeah, I think that I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. So he starts rehearsing his speech, and he goes back home. Now let's look at the second character, the older brother. The older brother. As you know, the young man goes home, the father accepts him, and they have a party because he's back. They kill the fatted calf. Well, the older brother was out in the field working. He had gone faithfully work with his dad and for his dad every day. He's out in the field working. It's time to come home. He gets ready, starts heading home, and he starts to hear something. What is that? It sounds like music. And the closer he gets, it sounds like a party. And he gets closer and he hears clapping and he hears dancing and thinking, what on earth? Dad doesn't party like that. What on earth's going on? And he gets close to the house, and he sees one of the servants walk out, and he stopped and asked him, "Hey, what's going on?" And the servant said, "The brother of yours that went to the far country and took the inheritance, well, he's back. He's back!" Yeah. "And your dad, he's having a party for him because he's glad he's back. He killed a fatted calf. And they're having a party and a feast." And the older brother got furious. He was so angry. I can just hear him. "Well, that brother of mine, he takes all of Dad's money, and he goes and he spends it all, and he comes back, and Dad just receives him back like that, and like nothing ever happened, and throws a big party, never throws a party for me. I never left the house." And sometimes, you and I can get to be the older brother. We've always been in church. We've always served. It's those sinners out there. Those sinners out there. God should favor me a little bit more than he favors them. And when Jesus told this story, there would have been no doubt, as he's standing there surrounded by tax collectors and sinners, there would have been no doubt that he's pointing the finger at the grumblers, the older brother. And they tried to get the older brother to go into the party. "Nope, not going in there." "Oh, come on, join the party." "Nope, not going in." And the imperfect tense is used, which means they ask him over and over and over, and he declined over and over and over. "Nope, not going in. Nope, not going in." And someone told the dad, "Your older brother's outside, and he's upset. You need to go talk to him." And so the Bible tells us that the father went out to entreat the older brother and try to smooth things over. Do you know how many times pastors do that? Do you know how many times I've had to go entreat the older brother? "Pastor, so-and-so at church, oh, they're one of the pillars of the church. They're upset about something. I think it has to do with Sunday school. You better go see them. Maybe you can smooth things over." And I'll get in my vehicle and I'll drive to go see them. And every time I do, this story comes to mind. Got to go and treat the older brother. Smooth things over. They don't care how the missions are going. They don't care how things are going at the church. They're just upset about their Sunday school class. So he goes out to the older brother. He said, "Son, what's the problem?" "Well, there is a problem, Dad. I have faithfully served you at this farm for years. I have never disobeyed you. But you never even gave me and my friends as much as a goat to celebrate with. And this son of yours," notice he doesn't say my brother, "this son of yours," and the word son that's used, there's a different word. It's a word that means boy. "This boy of yours takes the inheritance and spends it all on prostitutes and comes back and you kill a fatted calf for him." Well, hold on a second. The Bible doesn't say spend it on prostitutes. But the older brother said that. And he was angry. And the story ends. Jesus here with the tax collectors and the sinners. Grumblers over here, and Luke 15 opens with grumbling, and it closes with grumbling. And it's really ironic. The younger son left, repented, and came back. A party was thrown, and when the story ends, he's on the inside having a party. And the older brother never left home. Had a terrible attitude. Didn't forgive. And the story ends, and he's on the outside looking in. Grumbling. And the story ends. But there's one more character I want us to see in the story. That's the dad. The loving father. I want you to see his heart. The dad didn't argue whenever the son wanted the inheritance. Gave it to him. Every day that the boy was gone, I'm sure the dad was hoping this will be the day that my son comes back. And maybe going out to the field every day, the dad would watch down the road that the son left on, and every time he would make a corner of rows of planting or reaping, he would look and think, maybe today's the day that my son comes back. And then one day it happened. He's going down a row and he looks, and there's a figure walking down the road coming toward him, and he thinks, who is that? It looks a little like my son. And he gets closer. Why, that's my son's walk. It is my son. And the Bible said the dad ran, grabbed the son, embraced him, fell on his neck, and kissed him. The word that's used there for kiss is interesting. The prefix epi is put with it, which gives it intensity, which means over and over and over. He kissed him repeatedly, repeatedly, and repeatedly. My son is back, smelling like pig slop and everything. He's back. Now, don't miss the fact that the dad ran, because Jews did not run. Jews were very proud people. They walked everywhere very slowly. That was a part of their dignity, with their head held high. And Jews walked very slowly with their head held high wherever they went. You ever wonder why it took them so long to get places in the Bible? Took them Jericho to Jerusalem in 17 miles. Took them 3 days to get there. You ever wonder that? They walk in very slowly. They never run. If a Jew ever ran, they were throwing their dignity and pride away, because their dignity was to walk slowly. And the dad saw his son and ran and grabbed him and kissed him. And the son started going into the speech. Dad, I'm so sorry. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Can you make me one of your hired servants? I've sinned against heaven. And all of a sudden the dad cuts him off in mid-sentence, in mid-speech, and tells his servants, hey, bring the robe. Put a robe on him. That meant honor. And bring a ring and put it on his finger. That meant authority. And bring shoes. Put shoes on him. Because you see, only sons wore shoes. Slaves went barefoot. So he's got a robe, and he's got a ring, and he's got shoes. He's not just a hired servant. He's the son. And folks, this morning, if you will come to your senses and decide to leave the far country and come back to your dad, your father, the kind of reception you will receive will depend upon the heart of your father, not how much you've sinned. The heart of your father is good. No matter where you've been, no matter how far you've gone, you come back today, and you will have a robe and a ring and shoes. You'll be a full-fledged child. But notice the dad at the older brother also. We see his heart there. He was very forgiving with the first son, and with the second son, he's very patient. Well, Dad, I served you faithfully, never disobeyed. You never gave me a goat. He goes through all of this, and at the end of it, the dad says, son, listen. You've always been with me. You've always had my heart. And everything I have is yours. But this brother of yours, notice he didn't say my son, this brother of yours is home. He's back. It's only fitting that we celebrate, because it's like a resurrection happened. He was dead. Now he's alive. He was consistent with both. And that's the heart of a good father. He's consistent. Who loves. Who forgives. Who's patient. And on this Father's Day, that's the heart of the Father we remember. The one who gave his only son to bring you home. Father, I thank you today for your goodness and your love. And I thank you, Father, for the kind of heart that you have and how it's revealed in the story that Jesus told. Father, I pray that during this observance of the Lord's Supper that you would speak to our hearts. And Lord, if we're in that far country today, I pray that we'll come to our senses. I pray that we'll repent and we'll come back home. Lord, I pray for those in our church that may be the older brother. They've never left. They've never gone out into the world and lived like a prodigal. They've always been in church. But sometimes the attitude is not good. So, Father, would you forgive us if we're the grumblers? And may we be ones that take part in the party. So, Father, today, if there are decisions we need to make, would you give us the courage to make those? And now, while we observe the Lord's Supper together, Lord, would you bring afresh to our minds what Jesus did and how much the Father so loved the world that he was willing to give. And I thank you in Jesus' name.